Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 210 of our year of the Bible, in chapter 50 of the book of the prophet Isaiah, I'm just going to say a little bit about this one because in chapter 53, we get what has been called the Bible in miniature. But we're not there yet today, so I won't talk about it yet, but it's going to be hard. You'll see in chapters 50 through 52 a number of passages that you might recognize from other places, in particular, the New Testament, things that show up there. So if you look on chapter 50, verse 6, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheek to those who pulled out my beard, I didn't hide my face from mocking and spitting. Those are words that will be applied to Jesus in the New Testament. I offered my back to those who beat me, so you'll recognize that. In chapter 51, you get some more of that. Chapter 51, look at verse 17. Awake, awake, rise up, Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, you who have drained it to its dregs, the goblet that makes people stagger. The cup of the Lord's wrath is imagery that will show up in the book of Revelation, where the cups of the Lord's wrath are poured out onto the world. But again, this is something that gets picked up with Jesus. Who is it that drank the cup of the Lord's wrath? Well, it was Jesus at the crucifixion. At the crucifixion, the cup of wrath that by right was for creatures, it's you and me, to drink, because by nature, by default, in any sense of fairness, we should be the ones that God is mad at. I shouldn't say mad, that God recognizes as unrighteous. And I think we know that. And yet, however, on the cross, Jesus drank that cup of wrath instead so that he would die so that we would live. But of course, God raised him from the dead on the third day. But the crucifixion of Jesus was him drinking the cup of the Lord's wrath. And so when you get down to verse 22 and a half, I have taken out of your hand the cup that made you stagger. From that cup, the goblet of my wrath, you will never drink again. Why is that? Because Jesus drank all of it. Jesus drank all of it. So the punishment that we should be punished with has been taken on by Jesus instead. Though he was in the form of God, but he took on himself the sins of the world, all of the sins of the world, not just some of them, but all of them, even yours. He drank from the cup of the Lord's wrath so that you will never have to drink of it. In chapter 52, awake, awake, Zion, clothe yourself with strength. And we start hearing about, again, sort of the splendor of Jerusalem and the restored Jerusalem. And he says, the uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Again, this is something that shows up in the book of Revelation as well. All of the righteous, that is those who are made righteous by God, they are brought into the new Jerusalem. But those who have not been made righteous by the blood of Jesus are not, which I take to mean that there is no sin in the New Jerusalem. There is peace in the New Jerusalem. And the only way there's not going to be sin is if we are cleansed, again, by the blood of Jesus. I know me, by my own predilections, are going to engage in sin, but he says here, no, there is coming a day when your sin will be taken away, and so there will be no uncircumcised or defiled, right? Defiled by what? Defiled by unrighteousness. Well, unfortunately, I am defiled by unrighteousness. So that unrighteousness will have to be taken away. And thank Jesus, it has been taken away already. In verse 7 down in 52, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. St. Paul picks up this in the letter to the Romans. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. And that is, of course, well, first of all, Jesus. Jesus is the one who is able to proclaim peace, as Paul says in Ephesians. Jesus is the one who brings good news. The word for good news is, of course, gospel in Greek. So Jesus brings the gospel, the good news. What is the good news? Well, what we just said, that he has drank the cup of the Lord's wrath. And so what is our response? Verse 9, burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. We've said before that the posture of the Christian is one of joy because the Lord has comforted his people, which is us. The Lord has comforted us by cleansing us from our sins, by taking away the things that separate us from God and that separate us from one another. He talks about the prophet compares this liberation. Now remember, he's talking about two things at the same time. One, he's talking about the liberation from Babylon, and then of course in a larger sense, he's talking about the liberation from death that is accomplished by Jesus. And so he's comparing it, Babylon, to Egypt. He had mentioned Egypt and Assyria, who had been the problems before, and he says here, but you will not leave in haste or go in flight. Remember, when they were leaving Egypt, they had to go in haste. That was part of the things. Get everything together and get the heck out of Dodge. But here he says, you don't have to leave in haste. You don't have to go in flight. You're not fleeing from anything, right? Imagine the difference there. You're not fleeing from anything. You're leaving sort of standing up on your own two feet without, let's say, with some pride. But of course, it's not pride, the vice, but rather sort of the boldness that comes from redemption, from sort of knowledge of redemption. Now, verse 52, 13 is the very end of chapter 52, obviously, but it really goes better with chapter 53. So I'm going to wait for that because this is the fourth servant song. I'll just say the very end of it. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations. What is that? That of course is a reference, a prophetic reference to Jesus in his crucifixion. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. And it's talking about the crucifixion, the torture of Jesus. Verse 15, so he will sprinkle many nations. What does that mean? He's going to sprinkle them with water? Well, he's going to sprinkle them with his blood. Why is he going to sprinkle them with his blood? Because if you remember back in Leviticus, remember we were reading Leviticus? And at first I was like, ugh, Leviticus. And then I was like, wow, this is amazing. This has everything to do with the Epistle to the Hebrews. This has everything to do with atonement, God's atonement. He's sprinkling many nations with his blood the way that the altar was sprinkled, the people were sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice when they were at the tabernacle or at the temple. Instead of the animal of sacrifice, the blood of the animal of sacrifice being the one that saves, this is the blood of Jesus. He will sprinkle many nations. And notice he says it, many nations. It's not going to be just one or the other. It's not even going to just be Israel, genetically, at least. Rather, it will be all nations who get brought into the fold are grafted onto the tree of Israel. More to say about that tomorrow. Chapter 53 and 54, we're talking, chapter 53, especially, we are talking about Jesus. This is one of those things that just shines through as clear as day. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day, St. Georgians, and I will talk to you tomorrow with the fourth servant song. Bye-bye.